In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have just baptized a new person into the life of Christ. We have baptized someone born a little more than 40 days ago into the world, into a new life. A life that we don't receive simply by being born into the world, but we can only receive by being reborn in Christ's own life. Because in Christ, our humanity, the life that we are meant to live, is fulfilled, and it is to Him that we have to go if we are going to share that life. We can't live the lives that God intended for us to live unless we abandon a life that depends simply on the world and enter into Christ's life. Now, Zoe, we didn't wait until she was 12 or 13 and let her think about whether or not she wanted to be alive in the full sense, alive at one with God, with the fullness of life. We don't decide to be born into a fallen world either. But if we are fortunate, we are born into the arms of a loving woman and a loving man, a wife and a husband who are already united to Christ. Born into that family life of the little church, where we are already living a life at one with God through Christ. That's why we call the family a little church. And if someone is born into such a family, then we want them, having simply been born into the world, a world that is fallen and broken, where there is death and there is separation from God, the first thing we want to do is to take that child and bring that child into the fullness of life. Life from God. Not simply living the life unto death of this world, because this world has no life in it, but bringing that child into the fullness of life. And so Zoe comes into the fullness of the life of the church through her mother, and through her father, and also through the sponsors, those who didn't give physical birth to this baby, but are there standing on behalf of all of us who are at one with God by our living from God in Christ. All of us are sharing that life in common. And we're going to bring this child into that life that we share with Christ and with one another. In that life, if we struggle, the spiritual struggle, not to be drawn back into the world, we will be able to mature. Not with our own separate maturity, but into the maturity of Christ Himself, into the fullness of the life in Christ. And when we do that, then God will reveal Himself through us, as each human being is called to live a life that reveals divine life through themselves. And the light of God will shine through all of our personality and all of our abilities and all of our gifts. That's the fullness of life that we baptize someone into. That's the fullness of life that we share with one another. It's important to understand the life that we have in Christ, not to be drawn back into the world. This past week, myself and our lay delegate, Jordan, have spent the entire week at a council of the Orthodox Church in America, in Pittsburgh. This has been a time of great crisis in the life of the church, because the one who was lifted up and made the metropolitan of the Orthodox Church in America, and that simply basically means, as our new metropolitan put it very succinctly this past week, the one who chairs the council of the Synod of Bishops. He's not the ruler, he's not the Pope, he is the one who chairs the meeting. When all of the bishops of all of the dioceses of the Orthodox Church in America meet together, the metropolitan is the one who chairs the meeting. They are all equally bishops. No bishop is more so a bishop than any other, and yet there does need to be one focal point, one bishop who leads that meeting, one bishop who celebrates at the altar while all of the other bishops are present. And it is a kind of leadership that is not possible to understand in terms of the world that needs to be there. Now, during this time of crisis, and this crisis extends back as long as 3 decades, what we call the central administration, that administration of the church, the institutions of the church, has had corruption at its core. And yet, because of the, in terms of the world, unusual nature of the church, the Orthodox Church, we have not been destroyed. We are a hierarchical church. We have hierarchs. We have bishops. Those bishops lead us and guide us and teach us. But it's not a hierarchy of authority or power. It's not a top-down sort of worldly organization. Each one of those dioceses has their own bishop, their own guide, their own spiritual leader, their own teacher. As Ignatius of Antioch said when he was going to Rome to his death, where the bishop is, there is the church. And that isn't because of some power or authority that the bishop has over the church. It's because there needs to be a focal point, a center, in each local church. Funny term, local church. You know, we who have grown up in America, when we say local church, we might think of the little local Baptist church or the little local Episcopalian church, that little community, or St. Timothy Orthodox Church, the local Orthodox Church. When Orthodox say the local church, they mean, for example, the Orthodox Church in America. The Orthodox Church in America is the local church. The local reality in this time, in this place, in the United States of America, of the Orthodox Church. We are one whole with one another, and we're in communion with all of the other local churches. In Greece and Russia, some very ancient, some not so ancient, some as recent as we are ourselves. Only a self-headed, a autocephalous church since 1970. And for the last 30 years, we've had a great difficulty in figuring out how to be the local Orthodox Church in America. It is no small task. And it can only be learned, really, from the bottom up. It has to be learned in the experience of Orthodox Christians struggling in their spiritual lives to be Orthodox Christians in America. And so an interesting thing has happened. Even while at the, from a worldly point of view, the absolute top of the organizational structure of the Orthodox Church in America, there was a lack of direction. There was a falling back into being gripped by the powers and passions of the world. For the most part, we didn't know it. The Metropolitan of Washington and all America and Canada, that bishop was the Bishop of Washington, a very small diocese. And the rest of us sustained the wholeness and the fullness of the church during those decades. as again our new Metropolitan Jonah pointed out in one of his addresses this past week. During that time, the life of Orthodox parishes has grown. People have come to Orthodoxy, have come to live in the fullness of the Orthodox faith. There has been a gradual maturing in and toward the fullness of Christ, the maturity of Christ himself, not ourselves. Our understanding of ourselves and what our faith is about, while we started out simply as individualistically inclined Americans, has become more and more fully Orthodox, making a way for us to be Orthodox in America. Something that had never happened before, you see. Something no one had ever done before, and theologians wondered, how are we going to be Orthodox in America? Always in past centuries, from the first century on down, there was a conversion of the peoples. The Greek way of living life became an Orthodox way of living life. When the Slavic peoples converted to Orthodoxy, there came to be a way of being a Christian, an Orthodox Christian, that was very difficult in the end, after centuries, to separate from living life as a Russian person in the highest possible way. But always, it was the life that people shared as an ethnic group of people. When Orthodoxy came to America, Orthodox wondered, how can Orthodox Christians live in a country that was founded as a secular nation and holds nothing higher than the individual? How can it be? And now, 30 years later, we have at least the beginnings of the answer. Each one of us, as we abandon a life devoted to the world, as we abandon a life where we have faith in the world and the powers of the world, and gradually live our lives decade after decade, if we struggle, if we keep returning to the chalice, and in order to return to the chalice, of course, we have to return to the sacrament of repentance. If we keep mindful of what our Orthodox Christian faith is, mindful of the reality of the life that is Christ's life, that each one of us can live because we are baptized into his life, given the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can live that life, becoming more and more aware of the fact that we fall short of living that life. Decade after decade, finding a way to live as Orthodox in the American society. All of our parishes, all of our dioceses have been struggling in that earnest task, each given the specifics of their time and their place. And that spiritual effort turns out to have sustained the wholeness of the church. It's not maintained, after all, as a human, political, or business organization is from the top down. Everything doesn't depend on the one at the top. The one at the top has the fullness of responsibility to teach and to guide. But if there is no teaching and guiding going on at the top, if there's no one at the top who understands how the Orthodox Church in America can be the Orthodox Church in America, then it would take a very, very unusual person to be able to fill that role in this country. This past week, I believe that we have elected such a person. And those of us who have known him long ago, as I did, or come to meet him fairly recently, are in the process of coming to see that God has worked an incredible miracle in this country during the course of the past 30 years. Here we have a comparatively young man who's been a monk for 12 years, has resided in some of the greatest monasteries of Russia and has come out of his experiences with his 2 graduate degrees at seminary and his 12 years as a monastic, including life in Valam Monastery, that famous monastery in Russia, with an understanding of our faith that is primarily and fundamentally pastoral, and yet is at the same time an American understanding of what it takes for us as American people to hold to the Orthodox faith in a way that can transform ourselves and perhaps even our nation. It's taken time to accomplish that. And probably the best way that we have to look at the 3 decades of secret corruption at the center of the institution, organization. Remember, we as Orthodox know that the reality of the church is one thing. The church has organizations, it has institutions. That top level organization, institution, had to be cleansed and has been cleansed. And the way of doing things that they had in that little isolated space where they thought of themselves as being so important and actually were not at all at the center of what was actually going on in the Orthodox Church in America, that corruption has been erased. And in its place is a metropolitan and bishops that represent the experience of Orthodox in America in the course of the last half dozen generations. When someone is baptized, it's not a ritual to bring them into a club. It's not a magic thing that we do that has the power to change things for them in their isolation out in the world, some special holy thing that we can go and take back into a life that we live in the world. It is a coming into a common life that we share at one with God through Christ. A life that began 2,000 and more years ago. And that people have been entering into in order to share a kind of life that transforms all those who will be transformed by it. That is the church. And that church in the world has a real, actual, physical existence in time and space so that real human beings can come into it and use real water, real oil, real wine, real bread that is made into a sacrament of communion with God. All of that is the reality of the church. That church has organizations, has institutions. When they slip and they fall, it hurts us, but it doesn't destroy us. Because the reality you see remains. No one can destroy that. That's why the gates of hell can't prevail against it. The failing of a few human beings is their failure, and it is for us to forgive them, to try to bring them back into the life in Christ. These are the lessons that we're learning in our generations. The younger, middle-aged, the older, the generations that are represented in our time, we pass these lessons on from one another because we will pass on the ongoing life of the church that began over 2,000 years ago on into the future. And when an American girl like Zoe is born into an Orthodox family and baptized into the church, they are baptized into a wiser Orthodox church in America that has gained an understanding of how to deal with this peculiar American society, so unusual in the history of the world. And so let us give thanks and glory to God that He has brought us to this place and this time so that we might make the spiritual struggle of our generation and be transformed in our lives so that we can share the fullness of the stature of Christ. His fullness, His stature, our humility. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.